Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Chop Podcast. I am Charles First, standing in for Joe Dyer as host today because Joe's off doing, I don't know, more important things. With me today, as always, Grace Tame.
Yo.
Dave Milner.
I had more important things I wanted to be doing as well. I just want that on the record.
And joining us for the first time is shot writer John Delmenico, who also happens to be a chaser writer.
Hello.
Hello. And John, we've got you on because the budget was last night. We're recording this on Wednesday. Yeah. And you're a bit of a disaffected youth. How did the
Just a little bit.
You're a totally disaffected youth.
A little bit disaffected or a little bit youth?
A little bit both.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm bald and had a stroke, so I can't really be like that youth.
Yeah, well, you represent the youth who are bald and have a stroke.
Balding, stroke victim, youth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, you sort of also are relatable to the over 50s as well.
Sort of. Oh, I'm the marketable young person.
Yeah, that's right. But you're always complaining about everything, which makes you disaffected.
It's true.
So what's your impression of the budget? Who's the winners and losers?
Oh, the winners and losers. I mean, I've read the ABC and the Guardian's one, so obviously the winners are job seeker recipients.
I heard job seeker recipients get $20 extra a week, which I'm not good at maths, but that's fuck all.
Yeah, as someone who has been unemployed this year, the job seeker amount currently under the new boost, which comes in September, will keep you further below the poverty line than when Howard was in Parliament.
Mm.
Oh, so the government's own expert panel said that they should do a bare minimum of a $100 a week increase just to get people to a point where poverty isn't an active barrier to employment. Mm. And instead, the government went, well, we'll give them 20% of that.
Mm.
And just give them a $20 boost, less than what Morrison gave.
Mm.
So, and what they get out of that are little headlines that say job seeker boost for all.
Yeah, the ABC and the Guardian both called them winners. So if you're like living in your car and listening to this, know that you're one of the winners of the budget.
Yep. And what is it? It's like $2.80 something extra a day, which is nowadays like half a coffee.
Yeah.
Can we make the ABC and the Guardian writers who are claiming these wins live on this amount?
No, because you can't live on that amount. We can't do that. That would be
That's
really
a good point, Charles.
That would be really mean.
Yeah, they're not young and unemployed, so they don't deserve it like I do.
I do That's love right. that the ABC and the Guardian both claim to be representatives of the so-called progressive left.
Well, so does Albo.
That's true. What do words even mean anymore, people?
I mean, although Piers Morgan did call him a Tory last week.
But
I mean, Piers meant that in an affectionate way. Like, I actually like this guy. He's a secret Tory. We mean that in a, this is kind of alarming way.
Albo's just fallen victim to populism.
But what populism of whom? Like, who?
Yeah, people want.
Who supports keeping people in poverty? Like, that's not populism. That's like, I don't know, Rupert Murdoch might. And
it's psych.
I don't know.
That's that Rupert Murdoch brain, the psychopathy that people spread through the society where you just make these people less than human so you're allowed to not give a fuck about them. And we know that a certain amount of unemployed people is a necessity for this capitalist system in order to keep inflation down. So having that knowledge and then deliberately deciding to keep these people in poverty while they are playing that role in the broader economic picture is nothing but cruel.
Yeah, but we have to think about it this way, though. Like, Albo, his mum was on benefits. Benefits she wouldn't...
I heard that.
She wouldn't get those benefits now because she wouldn't qualify, but she was on benefits and Albo got to grow up struggling to become a class traitor. So maybe people like me can do that in the future.
That's it. That's it, isn't it? That story isn't about he's empathizing. He's aligning himself with the people that made it, with the battlers that got all the way to the top. I made it from the block,
yeah,
to the lodge. You know, that's
like
the, that's freaky because that's the American dream version of sucking it up and getting trod on by capitalism. That's the myth they sell you to keep that going.
Well, I mean, like the whole budget, like weirdly with populism, like there's stuff that's genuinely very unpopular in the budget. Like a lot of polling shows over 90% of Australians want the NDIS fully funded. And so obviously the government is cutting funding to the NDIS. Sorry, they're bringing in saving methods to secure it by reducing $59 billion at least over the next 10 years.
Mm. $59 billion over 10 years.
That's the bare minimum amount. Some of the predictions are around $74 billion.
And this is a service that we regularly say is underfunded. That's just an agreed upon thing.
Yeah. Well, one of Bill Shorten's ideas, this is genuinely what he has said that they should do, is to stop individualizing the orders for wheelchairs and just bulk buy a bunch and hand them out. Because, you know, one size fits all is famously how wheelchairs work. And they're going to start bringing in methods like that to save money at the NDIS and reduce its like funding by like $60 billion at the bare minimum.
Spoken like a true user of a wheelchair, Bill.
Yeah, there's been a lot of disability activists in the last like 24 hours just going like, where is this money going? Because he didn't mention it to anyone, but they're just going to be like start magically saving a bunch of money. Which, but we're saying saving though, the ABC said that it's a neutral position and it's not a win or a loss. It is just a perfectly neutral position that they're saving $59 billion by cutting services.
Yeah,
I love the budget.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Great news all around.
What they've done is they've put it in a surplus to try to control inflation, I'm assuming.
There is reports that the surplus was by accident. Like, genuinely, 2 weeks ago, Labor was saying it was going to be a small deficit, and then the coal industry came back with a larger profit than they thought. And so now it looks like they're... And then they're like, oh, no, we have a $4 billion surplus.
Also, Peter Dutton has said positive things about this budget. I feel like that could ring alarm bells for some people.
Well, that's he's scary,
said,
isn't it?
It is. He said the government deserves some credit for getting the budget back to balance.
Well, that, I mean, if it's got Dutton's seal of approval, then I think Albanese's toast, isn't it? Like that, isn't that the sort of curse of death? He'll be gone in 6 months with that sort of support. Jesus.
They've done good things for small businesses, and there's money in there for the efforts towards harmonisation of consent and sexual assault legislation.
Oh, which, that's a win for you, Grace.
Yes, which I have to, you know, I have to.
Do you get to personally have that money? No.
Actually, we have a policy that we don't take any funds from the government, and that, you know, I don't sit on any government boards. I am independent for that reason. I was offered a position on a government board. I didn't take it. Because I need to be able to, if I need to rail against any side of politics, I will work with state and territory governments. I will work with federal governments on particular pieces of legislation. However, you know, the process of, policy, structural legal reform requires a need to engage in push-pull decision-making and, you know,
so what does that involve? Did you lobby for that money? Were you part of the, or did they just sort of throw it in there?
No.
But that's still a win. Like that's incredible.
That sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
But you've got to understand this is over 4 years, and that's actually not, that's not going towards anything that we do. Like anything that we do as that we do as an organisation, or that the organisation does, that money is going towards what they need to do at a federal level in order to take leadership as a Commonwealth towards their part in what has been called for by survivor advocates and experts across the board.
Yeah.
What we do is you know, has some, you know, it falls into that, I suppose, but it's not, it has nothing to do with like we don't, that money doesn't go to us. No.
Yeah,
we didn't ask for any money. No.
Yeah.
What we use our money for is to mostly is to fund the legal work of child sexual abuse survivors.
I've noticed, so I've just going through the budget some more, politicians are getting more money. They're the winners. They're winners. Woo-hoo! This year. Yeah, I know, it's good. I was a bit worried.
Whatever would they have done before?
Well, they only gave themselves, it's only been a year since they gave themselves a raise that was bigger
now
than
that, now they're getting Brisbane's get. Boosted traveller expense allowances and additional frontline electorate staff resources. An additional $159 million over the next 4 years and about $40 million a year going forward.
I think that's an admission that they shouldn't have cut the budgets to the teals, isn't it? Like,
I think that absolutely is. Absolutely is.
Yeah.
I wonder how much the Sally Rugg and Monique Ryan court cases impacted that decision as well. I think it dragged it a bit forward, the, you know, the visibility around the working hours and what the extra load that the independents carry without a party machine behind them.
Mm. So the thing that is looming over this budget is, like, the Stage 3 tax cuts are so massively, massively huge that they don't have a lot of room to move, like, in terms of, like, actually doing stuff. Like, it's a Medicare benefit, but pretty much everything else, Job Seeker, all the stuff that people wanted have really, you know, been constrained because actually they've got this massive tax cut looming next year that is going to just destroy the budget. What do you think they're going to do? Like, are they going to just – they keep on saying, well, no, we're going to not break our promise.
I think the optimistic theory – is that this budget is presented the way it is to garner the sorts of responsible economic manager press that the Labor Party rarely gets in order to earn some political capital to roll that back with
but
the next budget.
But they never, ever, ever spend their political capital. Like Anthony Albanese...
That's an important point. Is an important point.
Like he literally, every time there's an opportunity to do something in any way bold, he doesn't do it.
And Charles has actively avoided this conversation to the point where he said, like, he won't take questions on the Stage 3 tax cuts around this budget because he said it's not relevant till next year.
And he says it's a it's a promise, right? And we're not in the business of breaking promises. He said that last week. What about the promise that no one should be left behind? Because we should always look after the disadvantaged and the vulnerable. That's a broken promise. Like we can say point blank, this budget leaves people behind. Therefore, he has broken. And surely that is a more substantial promise than, you know,
It just won't get a wall of nationwide media harping on about it. So it's not the sort of promise they're scared to break.
Yeah, they're just going to get Amy Ramikas asking some questions and then everyone else will be like...
And then me swearing on a Friday night and then they're like, that's the left of cop. Like,
yeah. And then also, we aren't as important to them because, like, the people that are getting the tax cuts are the ones who go to, like, the $5,000 a head dinner that Jim Chalmers had on budget night.
Uh-huh.
We are, like, on, like, unemployed people. We can't afford that. We can't afford dinner, let alone a $5,000 dinner. So we don't matter as much in political capital as all of the people that they claim to want to help. Like, they are helping struggling landlords, though.
Mm.
They announced tax cuts for landlords who want to buy another investment property.
What?
Did they really?
Did they?
Yeah,
I didn't see that anywhere.
Like, it was part of their announcement was that they're going to... part of their new rental schemes is they want to incentivize building new rentals. And so they're going to give a 15% tax cut to people who want to build houses so they can rent those houses out.
Fuck.
And, like... Because those are the real victims of the rental crisis, are landlords wanting another property.
Well, John, this goes back to the point I was talking about, you know, manufacturing consent for this. The front page of The Australian, on the front splash is, renters think they're doing it tough, try a mortgage, a column from Patrick Commons. And then, also, right next to it, also right beneath the masthead, more commentary, is this concession enough to lure investors back to rental property? This is the way it's being framed in The Australian. And Charles is about to have a heart attack.
In the what?
The Australian.
Dave? In the Australian.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so that's the paper that famously brags that one of their biggest readers is Albo. So he's already had a confirmation loop of his morning newspaper telling him he's done the right call.
It's a different way of looking at the world.
Just gonna clear this up here, listeners. Not a newspaper. Okay, not a newspaper. Murdoch, not a news organization. Okay, it's not what it is.
I think it's a political organization. News Corporation pretends to be a media organization.
Purely a propaganda apparatus.
Mm, yes.
Okay, that's all it is. It's just an echo chamber for
global capitalism.
And,
you saw that, the forces of evil. I don't know about that so much. I mean, it depends on your outlook on life.
I'm pretty sure.
But it's not. They're illegitimate. It's not.
Well, we've seen thanks to Tucker Carlson.
It's not worth your time or energy.
It's bad for your brain, people.
Yes, unless you want to actually feel whole segments of your grey matter disintegrating in real time. I would avoid exposing yourself to it longer than it takes you to walk past it in the shopping centre.
One fun thing about Tucker Carlson getting fired is he started going on rants about like Fox News strategy, where he's just airing out all of the things that they do that everyone has been suspicious of. Like, one rant he had was that they would let him bring on flat earthers because the flat earthers are funny to audiences, and they also make other conspiracies less, like, crazy in comparison. And so they can feel like when they put up the most annoying, like, the most, like, there's nothing no one's going to believe. It then makes the other stuff more believable.
Think this way. I did my thesis on the 9/11 truth movement, and there were sections of that, like the core truthers that thought that George Bush orchestrated it were really, really shitty. At the nuttier end of the scale, the people that thought there weren't any planes and there were holograms and there were missiles, they're like, "You're making this look crazy, man." Like,
well, Tucker Carlson said he's a 9/11 truther.
I'm not at all surprised.
He came out and said that, like, that was the one theory that the Murdochs wouldn't let him run, was that he's a big believer in Building 7 theory, which is like the other building that collapsed that was in between the Twin Towers, and that's why it collapsed, had BBC in it. And so the theory is, because of that, every media company around the world was in on it, including the Murdoch family. And so he was constantly having arguments with
the Murdochs.
Has he
worked at media companies? They can't fucking organise their own shit, let alone a global plot together. It's insane.
Yeah. But, of course, that's the one theory that he wasn't allowed to run, was the one where the Murdoch family was involved in something.
Can I just understand, just ask you as an expert on 9/11, Dave, was it an insider? what did your thesis
show? I mean, it's a long time ago now. I guess we were talking about how this mode of thought reemerges in American popular mind all the fucking time.
Hmm.
And yes, people had extremely good reasons to distrust George W. Bush.
Mm.
But so often it's that thing where he's taken advantage of a situation, gone into the Middle East for his daddy for oil. And people don't want to believe that. People don't want to think that the forces of capitalism would drive us to do horrific things in the name of our flag. They prefer to think that there's this insane plot to control everything. And you know why they prefer that? Because it's more comforting, because cruel randomness is nothing is more scary than that. It's much better to think that someone's in control of all of it.
And that's why it's good that the military is getting more funding in the budget.
Yeah.
On top, we're getting submarines, but we're also getting more funding for things like, and this is true, prototype laser weapons is a thing that the Australian government last month announced that they want to start investing millions in, is trying to develop laser guns.
Yes. That's good.
Fuck yeah. That's all right. I'm changing my take on this budget. That's cool.
That is cool. Have you seen on TikTok the craze where you use those laser pointers to irritate cockroaches and make them jump? Or is that just my TikTok stream?
Is that in the budget? Did they?
Well, I'm just saying maybe they could deal with the cockroaches.
I think that's how they talk about people who are on welfare.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I mean, the other good thing is Twiggy Forest is getting environment funding. We're getting billions invested into environment, and it's all going to Twiggy Forest.
You know what we should do?
Can we not call him Twiggy, though? That's what the fucking mainstream media does.
I don't know his actual name.
It's PR for him.
Andrew is his name.
I don't like using people's nicknames. It's their personal brand. They can sell it.
Fuck Knuckle Forest is also.
Fuck Knuckle Forest.
It is ironic that he deals in the thing that destroys forests.
The thing that I love most about Andrew Forrest is that he made a big show about 10, 15 years ago of funding the anti-slavery movement, the global anti-slavery movement. And it's like, wow, that's a really controversial thing. Like, am I for or against slavery? Yeah, okay, I'll be against slavery. But, you know, like, good on him. And then there was whole questions of his supply chain in China, and some of the people he was supplying to.
Here we go.
Yeah, had slavery in their supply chain. Suddenly, not so interested in the whole anti-slavery thing. Mate, you know, there's pros and there's cons to slavery. It's more complicated than you think. It's not just like get rid of slavery. That's just such a simplistic way of thinking about the world.
Yeah, and he always turns up at the World Economic Forum as well. It's very interesting.
Well, the good news is that getting rid of slavery is where the phrase "don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good" originates from like the 1700s. And clearly, Labor's policy of following that has succeeded because we've gotten rid of slavery by not letting the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Mm.
The perfect there was to overthrow the systems that were built on slavery and create a fair society, which is just never going to happen.
This is really interesting talking about slavery and talking about actually The Guardian before. They ran, and this is the UK Guardian, ran this whole hand-wringing series about, it was called Cotton Capital, about the Commonwealth's transatlantic slave trade ties, and they also then had to sort of reveal as part of that the Guardian had its own ties to the transatlantic slave trade, because of course Manchester, which is where the Guardian was its home, and formerly it was called the Manchester Guardian, was a big hub for slavery.
A little bit about how this came to be, because I speak to people at the Guardian. It was them doing their own internal review, discovering this about themselves, and that is why they started doing the journalism. They're also donating a decent amount of money to it.
Which is great, but they would have known this all along, is sort of what I'm saying, because they used to be called the Manchester Guardian until 1959. And so it was a little bit obtuse that they did that. And again, they claim to be this sort of this voice for the sort of middle class, progressive, demographic. I don't know. Maybe that's the cynic in me who's sort of is very mindful to be, I think it's good that they obviously owned that.
Charles,
the Chaser is built on slavery.
Yeah, well, we don't talk about the Chaser's dark past.
No, it's different. The Chaser actually originally made all its money out of asbestos mining. And then it used to actually be called the asbestos
but
chaser.
That's why it's so it's why it's so intoxicatingly funny.
Hey. Yeah, you lose your breath from laughing.
It's just such a gas.
Oh no.
Oh, don't
get everybody stop it right now. The budget, numbers, focus.
Okay. It's so
depressing. There's a new gas tax. So that's a good thing.
Let's
the tax
talk about
on
that.
Gas. But
I
then
it's raising fuck all as well.
Yeah, it's raising 2/3 of the amount of money that the indexation of the smoking levy is going to bring in. So it's genuinely just bringing in nothing. But again, it's been called a win by the media, ignoring the fact that the government funds all the gas projects as well. They're just getting a little bit of that money back, and it's great. Like, that's like, sure, youth, one of the reasons why youth are very angry right now is that we're going to have to grow up and explain to our kids why the planet's dying. And we're just going to have to explain
that,
like,
just, that's not just the youth balding had a heart attack demographic. That's all of them.
Yeah, that's even people who are other Gen Zs who have, like, also are going to have problems growing up that aren't related to probably having another stroke. Like, it's just really bizarre as well, because they're getting praised for a lot of environmental stuff, where it's like, they're also, because they said they're going to be the world leader in hydrogen, which was Scott Morrison's line, but apparently now that it's Jim Chalmers saying it, it's better. And again, the exact same criticism that Scott Morrison faced of the reason we'll be the world leader is because no one else is investing in hydrogen, because it's not the way to go. Mm. So you can be the world leader by default. And it's like the same thing's happening again. They're just moving where the hydrogen's going to come from to be from a different fossil fuel company. And it's like, oh, great. We're just going to be destroying the planet in a slightly different way.
It does make the governments on some really big issues seem fairly interchangeable, which also makes it feel like, you know, to fix these problems, it's not through parliamentary politics. It has to come a different way.
Oh, yep. Are you talking revolution?
Is that always, Charles? Always. You've read my stuff.
or are you talking revolution or another bumper sticker campaign?
We could make some more stickers. I think that'd be a good start.
That'll help.
I mean, the shot also sells keep cups, and that's how we're going to solve climate change.
Also, just to do a little bit of correction on the gas tax, I think that is a bit of a trickery. I think they're getting an extra $2.4 billion, but I think from what I heard on the radio this morning, that is actually just pulling forward some cash that they would have otherwise got later on, and the gas companies won't have to pay the tax later. It's just literally a cash flow issue. It's not a increase in the petroleum resources and tax.
But they still get the headline.
Yeah, they still get the headline. I mean, I think that to me is the biggest winner in this whole budget, is the fact that they've spun everything that we've talked about actually turns out, like, it's a beautiful, like, magicians are the winner in this budget, because this
it's
is
a good PR
the
budget.
Biggest conjuring trick I've ever seen. Like, every time you go through the details, you go, oh, hang on, it's not what it seems. So,
like, this is the exact thing that the whole point of the lockout, because I was genuinely confused about why the media plays along with the whole, like, lockup thing for the budget. And I got some very angry journalists in my replies when I asked why the media play along. And they're like, oh, well, it's because we can fact check the spin. But so far, everything has just been giving the exact line the spin gave.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's like, what part are they fact checking? Just the specific numbers? It doesn't matter what the number is. Like, it doesn't matter if they were like 0.1 off in terms of billions, if they're still saying something's a win when it's a loss, or it's a net neutral when it's a loss.
Mm.
Or like, a small change is somehow a win when it's not a win. Like,
so can I pose for you a scenario, which is the reason Anthony Albanese, so like on the radio this morning, his main line was, I want to be a long-term Labor government. But that's his whole thing, is I want to be in, which is such a revealing
thing.
Oh,
is that
thing?
The like, where he had the Freudian slip?
I want to keep
where he
my...
said that this is the budget that our government needs.
Oh, really?
Did he really? That's what I was saying before. This is about accumulating political capital.
And so they're playing it very smart, very, very safe, you know, just pretending to do stuff that they're not actually doing. Like, that would be my assessment of the budget overall, right? Is there not a risk that actually, you have to address reality at some point. Like, you can spin all you like to yourself. You can spin to Canberra. You can certainly spin to the Australian, whatever you like, and they'll repeat it back to you. But, you know, there are people who are in full-time jobs living in cars because housing is so dire in this country. The Liberal Party.
People don't know this. We have 3.3 million Australians that live in poverty. 3.3 million.
Continue. Well, yeah, but in the speech, Jim Chalmers did say he wants to break the chains of intergenerational poverty before going on to announce that they're not going to lift people out of poverty.
but even the Liberal Party is saying now, actually, we need at least 200,000 extra houses in the next year to not sort of reach an even greater housing crisis. Is there not a scenario where you go, the Labor Party risks being so timid and so shit that in 3 years' time or 2 years' time, they're untenable. They're the Scott Morrison of Labor governments because they're such – it's just all bullshit. Risk. It's just total bullshit.
I think as the world gets more chaotic and more apocalyptic, reality becomes more obvious to people, and the sorts of spin, gaslighting, everything's okay, we're doing great, it doesn't jive just as well. We noticed this through the pandemic massively in terms of the Herald Sun's coverage of what was happening in Melbourne and the reality of what was happening in Melbourne. Just was so discordant that people saw through it clearer than they ever have before. And if Australians keep struggling the way they are and keep being told everything's fine, they will notice this. And I do think there's a mood for real change in this country that there hasn't been for quite a while, and they risk getting swept away by this just like Scott Morrison was last year.
Grace?
Okay. The Albanese government has been in power for what, like a year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the rental housing crisis we're in as a nation has come about because of so many multi-directional factors. You know, to understand that, we have to go back, you know, generations. And then we've also got the pandemic. Therefore, to move out of it, it's not a simple fix. This is not a defense of the Albanese government, by the way, or this budget. Necessarily, it's just trying to understand that it's
absolutely like it's a 40-year long problem.
Yeah, it's so many governments who have not pushed and not moved the right levers. If we're just talking about
it's a problem with
the dead money in this housing bubble, and that's. You know, it's to try and sort of tease apart, you know, like one particular cause or factor. It's sort of, you know.
But they're not even really trying. Impossible. They're not even trying. They
haven't introduced any sort of thing to help. Like, they announced the only thing for renters and to help at all was they announced a increase to the rental support system. But the increase is like a few dollars. So it's, again, not enough there for anyone who's renting and just had like a $100 or $200 rent increase where it's going to help them pay an extra week of rent. Like, there is this thing of just like, that it's not that they did not cause this issue, but they're also refusing to do anything that their own experts say they should do to start trying to address it.
And the reason is because the entire political class is actually fine. They're in good houses and they own at least one.
Yeah, the entire political class, well, the entire political class on all sides. So I'm not just talking about Labor and Liberal here. And this is like in federal level. You know, owns a lot of property. They don't just own what they need. And we're talking about incentives, not just to, you know, if people need to upsize. We're talking about a lot of the times there's no incentive to downsize. So if, you know, somebody's widowed, for example, there's no incentive to downsize. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of dead money there. There's a lot of, space that's wasted in, you know, wherein there are people who are, you know, single, who have all these spare rooms in massive properties. And we see we see that inefficiency in the market as well. Mm. And that it's
well,
just...
the problem is that it is a market.
This has happened over such a long period of time. Sorry?
The problem is that it is treated as a market. Like, it's been treated for generations right. as a market, and it's not. It's a basic necessity.
It's a basic need, yeah. It's a human right.
And
well, even how the media talks about it, though. Like, did you see the AFR article about the Greens this week? They did, like, a piece trying to shame the Greens, being like, these few Green senators, they own rental properties, but they're also pushing for, like, for changes to help make the house to address the housing bubble. And it's like,
I saw that they accused them of being hypocritical instead of being empathetic and voting with kindness.
It's like they're actually just shaming politicians for doing the exact thing politicians are meant to do, which is work towards the public good and not their own pocket.
Yep.
And so there is also that thing of, like, for some reason Australian media, well, for some reason it's because they're all rich and they benefit from these broken systems, like, are even just trying to scare politicians out of trying to help anything at all.
So what's the solution?
You need a suite of solutions to unpack this.
No. No nuance. No nuance.
No nuance.
Oh, no. The media cannot handle the nuance.
We want
squatting
headlines.
Squatting lights. Just everyone. Like, if genuinely, if we have a revolution or we have a squat, like, we do outnumber them. That's like that I've always, like, if we, like, there's also, I don't think any parliamentarian would have, any media mogul would even be able to stand one person actually getting in front of them and not just feeding into their feedback loop.
Civil disobedience.
Yeah, just a little bit of, like, we don't even need everyone, just a little bit, and the rest of us just go, oh, okay. And a lot of problems would be solved. Or if we just eat one rich person, the rest will start listening.
You'd only need to eat one.
Okay, so there is actually a list of unoccupied houses in Australia. It's called Airbnb. It's a website.
Oh, no, Airbnb, no.
But you just go through and you work out, you just go, okay, well, that Airbnb is empty tonight because it's still available. I'll just go and squat there.
I'll sleep there.
Like, you just literally, you treat it as a squat listings.
For the record, we're not advocating home invasion or, you know, trespass or anything like that.
Aren't we? Aren't we, though?
Well, there needs to be a grey area there, Charles. I need to say this. You can say what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
there is a risk that the police are all assholes.
Yeah.
Like, the police won't be as kind to this idea as a person who has empathy.
Hmm.
Not all police are assholes. I mean, this is coming from me who's wearing a...
ACAB.
What does your shirt say?
She's not wearing an ACAB jumper. That was bad timing.
This is me. I am an advocate for nuance. Oh, if anyone hasn't already picked that up.
Oh, no.
This is me. This won't work, Grace. This is media.
I do not think that all police are assholes. I think that is a blanket statement that nobody should make. I do have a jumper on. That says pay sex workers, charge cops.
Yes.
Which is, you know, it's a funny thing that my friend gave me. She made it. Yes, I don't think that.
Well, if we're talking about nuance, I know cops and they're nice people.
Yeah.
But that's not media,
institutionally,
Grace.
Institutionally, as a collective, they're bastards.
Yeah, like the Queensland Police are offering a $20,000 bonus for anyone who moves to join the Queensland Police to help crack. To help go to North Queensland, they're doing a bigger job targeting Indigenous Australians than targeting racist lynch mobs yelling out the N-word.
Was that a New South Wales initiative, like paying $20,000 to get rid of their cops, or was it Queensland?
No, it's genuinely Queensland wants to buy New South Wales cops for 20 grand.
Okay. Well, like, cops aren't cheap to buy, in my experience.
Instead of, you can never have the nuance of... Most issues in the world have massive societal problems that politicians are hired to address. Instead, we can't have the nuance of we should do the multi-layer thing of addressing that. We just need to either be very strongly for or against something, and we need way more cops or we need no cops. That's the only solution.
Okay. So how would Joe wrap this up all neatly in a bow? Because I've tried several times.
Joe would just talk.
Oh, yes. Really? He would, wouldn't he?
So you got to do that, Charles. That's you right now.
Okay. Oh, right. Well, I think what we've discovered here today is that there were winners and losers in the budget. And
can we start that again?
And that the Labor Party has delivered a really shrewd budget that will see them be a long term thing in the thing. Is that Joe?
The long term thing in the thing. Is that what you think of Joe?
Well, everyone,
Joe Dyer's expert podcast host.
You did not use enough words containing 10 letters or more.
Oh, okay.
I have had
right,
to Google
yeah.
words I've heard on this podcast. I'll be honest.
Okay.
We've really missed out on the profound part of this podcast.
You didn't use nebulous. You didn't use amorphous. You didn't use nexus. Yes. You didn't use.
I was being a bit too loquacious, wasn't I?
You were. Yeah. We should thank your nebulous sponsors and your loquacious microphone company and that thing.
Our gear is from Rode. We're part of the Iconoclast Network, and we will catch you next week. And hopefully, Joe will be back by then.
Okay. When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com code PROGRAM.